Can I ask you to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Ginger. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Is our high school rep here?
She is.
Hi.
She's in the corner over there.
Good evening, everyone. May and June are the 2 months where we get to celebrate the most with end-of-the-year ceremonies, inductions, and concerts. We had our band concert and night of jazz concert at the end of May, as well as our underclassmen awards ceremony on May 30th. We are looking forward to celebrating with the seniors this Wednesday at the Senior Award and Scholarship Ceremony. Also, please join us for our choir concert on June 5th at 7 o'clock. As we finish up the school year, we are continuing to celebrate students and their achievements at our Thespian Honor Society induction dinner. Also on June 7th, we have our high school sign and dine thanks to our PTA. As we end the school year, our seniors are looking forward to their senior prom at the Sands in Atlantic Beach, and of course, our graduation for our biggest graduating class yet on June 24th. Congratulations to all those families. I would like to wish everyone a wonderful summer, and I greatly enjoyed speaking on behalf of the high school as a Board of Ed representative this year, as we'll be preparing for finals in regions that start on June 12th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We've enjoyed having you.
I guess not.
Is our middle school representative here? Come on down.
Good evening. I cannot believe how quickly the year has gone by. Already our eighth grade trip is a distant memory with wonderful stories of time spent with peers and teachers. Highlights of our trip include the Fenway Park tour, duck tour, and a beautiful day in Salem. The eighth grade students also had an opportunity to attend their second high school 101 presentation. This time, the focus was more about social pressures rather than academic success. Matlin and POB Middle School will meet for their first time this Thursday as the two schools will join together for a tour of the high school. The transition process will wrap up with our mentors and mentees meeting one final time next week. Our spring music concerts were beautiful and filled with song and dance as students shared their talents. What a great way to take us into the end of the year. Matlin 5th grade students enjoyed their field trip to the Bronx Zoo last month. Matlin Student Council and Service Club had an amazing experience bringing the food that the school collected to the JCC food pantry. The club members were able to weigh over 180 pounds of food and were able to see firsthand how their hard efforts helps the community. Matlin Student Council hosted their annual Carnival for a Cure to benefit Relay for Life. Students, faculty, and parents all worked together for this huge event, which raised over $1,100 towards the fight against cancer. Congratulations to all of the Pride Award winners and their families. The Pride Awards program recognizes students who have shown significant and consistent improvement throughout the course of the school year in one or more of the following areas: academics, homework completion, organization, attendance at remedial, social interaction, and/or behavior. Our ceremony will be held this Friday at 3 o'clock. POB Middle School is wrapping up the year on a high note. Our 6th grade students attended their annual Medieval Times field trip on May 14th. Students enjoyed a jousting performance and lunch as a tie-in to their 6th grade social studies classes. The following day, 5th grade students visited the Cradle of Aviation. There, students learned about air and spacecraft and STEM learning. In the middle of May, members of Student Council interviewed Mr. Peter Marino, Grand Marshal of the Memorial Day Parade. STUCO student representatives marched on the Memorial Day Parade, and our 7th grade student, Kerry Cohen, delivered an address on Mr. Marino's behalf. We appreciate the opportunity to give back to those who have served our country and look forward to participating in next year's parade. POB Middle School was also recognized as a No Place for Hate on May 25th. Students from Miss O'Kay's Anti-Bullying Club, Stand Up to Stand Out, Dr. Trapani's Best Buddies, and Miss Segroy's Pride Club were honored. We are thrilled to be named a No Place for Hate in 2018 and look forward to continuing these initiatives in the next school year. In the midst of final examination preparation, there is also time for reflection, especially for our oldest students. This Friday night, the 8th grade students will be attending the annual Sign and Dine. Yearbooks will be distributed and pizza will be served to celebrate a year well done. Graduation is taking place on Friday, June 22nd. POB Middle School will miss our 8th graders, and we wish them the best of luck in September.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to go on to board announcements.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Jody? The team from Plainview Old Bethpage Middle School got a nice little write-up in Newsday this week. They were winners, one of four national winners out of 4,600 entries for the Toshiba and National Science Teachers Association Explorer Vision Contest, where the entrants are asked to develop a technology that might exist in 20 years. These young ladies were actually recognized in student recognition, but I wanted to mention it again since they got this nice little write-up. They developed nano sponges and neo-needles that create a healthy balance of mucus within the organs of a person with cystic fibrosis. These were sixth graders, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes.
Just amazing stuff. Again, they were one of four national winners out of 4,600 entrants. So I just wanted to make mention again.
Now. Well, I was very excited. Of course, the Memorial Day Parade was attended by many and many of our children, many of our students. It was absolutely so gratifying to be part of it and to have such a wonderful commemoration within our town. I was at Old Bethpage Grade School as well. They did a beautiful ceremony for the veterans. It was lovely, and the veterans were absolutely thrilled with that. And I'd like to have everyone know that our own Ginger Lieberman was honored from Scope last week, and those of us who attended were very proud of her. So we thank Ginger for all of her years of service to the school district.
Thank you, Ginger.
Last week, the Board of Education in Central did a walkthrough of all of our schools, and we were just starting to see what bond work is going to be starting as soon as the last day of school happens, what has gone through already, where your dollars, where our tax dollars are being spent. And we always like to just look and make sure that everything we saw on Stratford Road, the beginning of the auditorium, it has been stripped down, and we're hopefully for a complete auditorium to be ready by when, Dr. Lewis?
The fall.
By the fall. So going through each building, stopping in and saying hello, it was just a wonderful, wonderful day. On May 22nd, some of us attended the Pathways to Prevention. It was in conjunction with legislator Arnie Drucker, and we had some marvelous speakers and marvelous, marvelous workshops. I am sorry that it wasn't filled to capacity, because when we talk about opioids and everything else, we're talking about children starting in elementary school. We're talking about death. We're talking about people not knowing what to do and having a lot of people, their heads in the sand. You have stuff in your cabinet. You should know what drugs you have. You should be knowing the signs to look for your child. And I think Debbie and I attended one of the workshops, and it was about a DEA agent who was just so marvelous. We stayed, and he just kept answering questions and talking to us. But 80% of oxycodone used in the world is used by the United States. Just think of those statistics.
Amazing number.
And he gave other statistics, and you just stopped and said, we are the abusers, the United States, compared to all the other countries, what we do. And he talked about where it was available, and he talked about pills that people buy thinking it's the real thing, and they thought it was fentanyl, but it really isn't. And they could tell by the K, and it's a /9, K9, because it's used for animals. But the amount that people buy, it's something that could put an elephant down, and people are ingesting this. So we're going to keep pursuing this, and we're going to get parents to understand that we mean business, that this is life and death, and it's something that no parent could say, not my kid, not ever, because every one of your kids knows somebody who's doing drugs. So this was just wonderful, and so everybody worked to put it together. I only wish that 100, 200 more people attended.
So everybody who did attend should tell 10 people, so the next time we have something, there will be more people in attendance.
Unfortunately, I couldn't go that night because, and I'm going to mention it, and this is what, did they mention, I couldn't go that night. I was actually at a show with my son in the city, and while walking back to Penn Station, there were four, we counted, with my 13-year-old son, there were four edible drug trucks that we passed by. They looked like
Like food trucks?
Like food trucks. And they were, you know, yelling out, clear as day, marijuana lollipops for sale, all these other candies. I went to go speak with a police officer in Penn Station and asked him why in a 15-block radius there were no police officers saying anything. He asked me why I was upset. And then said, I am just a police officer for Penn Station, but clearly had a police badge on his shoulder. And I said, you are here to protect many people, not just people in Penn Station, I would hope. He told me I can call the FBI, I can call the government. Did they mention anything? I could not get over. There were four, clear as day, yelling, bongs right out in front. And I'm walking in New York City to Penn Station, a 15-block radius.
The only discussion we had in our group was legalization of pot. And was it right? Was it wrong? You know, they're looking at how much money they would be getting in the government. We're talking about if you're high after you're smoking pot and you get in a car accident, but pot is legal, you can't be arrested. But if you had a couple of drinks too many, you could be arrested. And then where you draw that line, this is, you know, a discussion that's got to be had, but that was the only thing we never even went there, which that's another thing to go after.
Crazy.
Well, even what's scary about that is last year when Stephen Dewey came, he said that most of the marijuana on the street now is actually laced with fentanyl.
Yeah, it's very bad.
It's, yeah, exactly. And it's not just...
There were all those deaths that week.
Yeah. Right.
Because mm-hmm. they were less late.
The guy from the DEA did say that cocaine and marijuana are being laced with fentanyl. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Seth. So for what it's worth, I'm sure if he felt or you felt you were in danger, the cop would act and protect you, just for what it's worth.
Spoken like a labor lawyer for the police.
I understand why you needed you felt the need to say what you did, Seth. I appreciate it. I respect
that. I think that, you know, as we sat there and as we heard what he was saying, we became more and more concerned, fearful, because nobody really understands the impact to the extent that it is.
Right.
And it was just shocking.
Deadly.
It was deadly is a minor
not
word.
Not overstating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It was unbelievable. I'd love to have him in our high school just to talk to the kids, that person.
Yeah, it was very good, Lorna.
On Lorna? Another note, I hope everybody comes out this Saturday. Hopefully the weather will be nice for another Relay for Life event. It's always a bittersweet night. We celebrate living and fighting for a horrible disease, so hope to see everybody on Saturday. And also on Wednesday, our outgoing president's dinner. So thank you to all those PTA presidents that do so much good for our staff, our students. We're lucky to have you. Thank you.
Lorna's afraid with all these dinners. Thank you. I just wanted to congratulate the 176 students who were inducted into the National Honor Society last week. I'd also like to congratulate their families, their teachers, and advisors. It was a beautiful ceremony, and I wanted to thank them for inviting me to speak. So thank you. Okay. Superintendent announcements.
I want to echo what Rennell has said about the Old Beth Page Memorial Service, Memorial Day Service. It was the first of many to come. It was so well done. They had a perfect day. The entire school was out. In fact, if you look on the website, you will see the song that Jean Kendall created. The veterans asked for a copy of it. I told her to have it copyrighted. It was really so well done. And the children then all made a flag with, you know, they all were dressed in red, white, and blue, strategically placed. And we took a picture from the roof, so it really is a beautiful poster that is on, it's on Facebook and it's on the website, and I did have to highlight it because it was just a beautiful, beautiful service, and the vets really appreciated. But beyond the service, every child in the building had made a bag of goodies for the veterans at the hospital in Northport. And the veterans, the VFW, took those boxes and boxes of gifts to the veterans. I did challenge the kids to each class to write a letter to a Gold Star family. And I think I'd like to do that throughout the elementary schools next year. I said, so often we forget the families who are left behind when those magnificent soldiers give their all to this country. And I challenge every class to Google a Gold Star family so that every single class at Old Beth Page will send a letter in whatever way they can. The kindergartners will do it. And I would like a copy of it, and over time I really would like all of our Gold Star families in the country to be touched by Old Beth Page students. So I'm going to move that out to the other elementaries next year. We often forget those families. I want to recognize the art teachers at the middle school, well, across the whole district, but in particular the last... We had a show, the middle school, POB Middle School. I toured that one last week. Interesting show. The theme that they featured was having the students study two artists and then recreate an art piece using the concepts of both artists. So that was incredible. That was not only did you have to study the artists, but you had to find features of their artwork and combine it into another art piece. That was just outstanding. And the imagination, of course, was just shining through. And then tonight, before the board started, and many of the board members did a tour of the Matlin Middle School art show. And again, stupendous work. So I want to congratulate all of the middle school teachers. I always look around when I go to these shows because I'm looking for pieces that will adorn our wall. The art teachers have figured out you've got to do horizontals in order for them to be here because our frames are horizontal. So I'm seeing more and more, particularly the elementary level, more horizontal artwork.
For very particular reasons,
yes. And we, of course, will feature them in the calendar. I'm so proud of the district's schools. We were all, except for one, which they're on the way to becoming No Place for Hate. And, the students went into the city. It was a day of celebration and shared their stories about things that they have done. I know the high school students spoke about the rock. The kindness rocks that they had created. In fact, the board on their tour saw some of the kindness rocks that they had done. But just really good ideas being shared across New York about the kinds of things that we do here in Plainview, but also they're learning from other colleagues, other children in the state, a No Place for Hate, which is an ADL program. But it is just, I love to see us being recognized as gold winners, embracing the No Place for Hate, because it leads to so much more. And so I congratulate them. All of our schools by tomorrow would have been audited by the Homeland Security Office at no charge to the district. So far, we've received 5 reports. The principals have gotten them. What they do is they walk through with Mr. Donnarumma, and there are suggestions that are made as to some practices. So, for example, if you have in the new buildings, the doors close right behind you. We're used to keeping our doors open. That Homeland Security is saying, no, you can't leave them open. They must be closed and locked. So they're just practices that you put that, what do you call the woodchuck to hold the doors open because they keep closing? Not allowed. It's just little things that they're bringing to our attention that doesn't cost very much, but makes us smarter, safety smarter. And so Mr. Donnarumma is finishing up 2 more buildings, and then we'll get a detailed report. I think we'll have those on the website, if it's possible. I don't know if we're supposed to, But just the notice that,
we
no,
will
not the
detail. Have them on
no,
the
we
website.
Won't. No, no, the notice that we have done that.
Right.
The notice that we have done. Not the details of the plan, yeah. but we will put notice of the plan that we have done that and that we have received the feedback from that. And finally, June 21st, I just want to remind everyone that June 21st was our take back day. It was our final snow day. It was going to be a half day, and half days don't count in our 180-day counts. It has to be a full day. So the high school, by the way, they carry it as a full day no matter what because it's a Regents Day. So they get their business as usual because they are a full day for staff because that's a Regents Day. You get credited for a full day on every Regents Day. But the middle schools and the elementary schools were going to be a half day. They are all full days. So it's a Thursday, full day. And going forward... I'm sorry?
Parents who work from home.
Well, going forward, we will be looking at, we'll have a discussion about our calendar for next year, but we will be adhering to the 180-day requirements, and we will have to watch our hours. It's 990 hours for the secondary, and it's 990 hours with students. Except for the 22 hours that you are allowed to do either parent-teacher conference days or staff development. So it's a 990 minus 22, and we have to be sure that we do that. And that's my announcement. No, that's my announcements.
Oh,
and then finally, Tobacco 21. So on May 23rd, I had the privilege of celebrating my birthday at the Nassau Legislature. I really thought it was a gift because really for me to be able to argue passionately about something and to see the consequence of that argument come through, that was a gift. And so it was also a gift because it was something that Judy Jacobs had taken up. She started that legislation. And so we pulled it across the finish line for Judy. And I was able to argue for Tobacco 21. As you know, Long Island, Suffolk County has already adopted it. New York City already has adopted it. And just to put it in the context of what that means for not having it in our schools, because the accessibility of tobacco products for students who are still in our school, 18-year-olds are still in our schools. They have access to our younger children, and everyone knows that the earlier you start with tobacco, the more likely you're going to be a lifetime user. If you can wait until 21, that number drops dramatically. So it was passed, and today,
right.
Was it today?
It was today.
It was today. Laura Curran sealed it. So all of Long Island is now on Tobacco 21.
Okay.
So,
thank you. Now you're doing these.
Finally.
There were a few finallys.
No.
But really finally.
Really, they're all in my notes right here. Finally, at the school boards, at the school board association, I'd like to read this into the record if you don't mind. At the school boards... recognition dinner. Thank you. I had the pleasure of speaking on behalf of dedicated board member Ginger Lieberman, where she was awarded the 2018 Dedicated School Board Service Award. And that particular day, we were doing the walkthroughs, and a teacher in Judy Jacobs Parkway saw Ginger and just embraced her. It was in Pasadena. Sorry, it was in Pasadena. And she embraced Ginger, and then she looked at the rest of us and said, "You don't know why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because when I was a student, I watched Ginger Lieberman at that school board table, and I said, that's the person I want to work as a teacher in this district because of Ginger." And so in my statement that day, I said that Mrs. Lieberman has served the children of Plainview with passion, commitment, and purpose as a member of the Board of Education for the past 33 years. During that time, she served as president for 10 years and vice president for 8 years. All aspects of the district has been impacted by her care and diligence, whether it is configuring the schools to more appropriately serve the needs of a growing population, introducing the Chinese language in our elementary program, engaging residents into action for a cleanup of a landfill, or creating a center for senior citizen. Mrs. Lieberman is a passionate advocate for the future of our community. Her flexibility in working with fellow board members, parents, teachers, unions, and the public has earned her the enviable reputation of being an outstanding community leader who truly cares about the children and their future. Under her leadership, the district has made incredible strides in all academic areas and, equally important, has been made to attend to social-emotional learning. The Women's Center, Art Gallery, and the Holocaust Museum housed at the high school are evidence of her influence in extending learning beyond the classroom walls. Mrs. Lieberman works tirelessly to support our district in preparing students for a tomorrow of exciting possibilities. One recent example of her commitment was her ability to help us forge a partnership with the North Shore LIJ or Hofstra University and our district. Starting with a simple conversation at a dinner meeting with local legislators and community partners, she was able to plant a seed that has now grown into a medical career academy. Our students are engaged in meaningful experiences in all aspects of the health field because of her tenacity and willingness to extend her sphere of influence. No matter where she goes, she keeps our district's interests at the heart of the conversation and consistently seeks ways to expand opportunities for our children. She has now incorporated this initiative into a board goal, and all schools are now looking for ways to incorporate STEAM activities into the curriculum. The STEAM initiative has ignited learning, and we're all the better for it. Mrs. Lieberman has blazed a trail of identifying cyberbullying as an extension of the harassment that occurs all too often in our schools. For the past 15 or so years, she has conducted workshops on bullying and co-authored a book on the subject. The book was a winner of the National Legacy Book Award. Our community is a far better place because we have been fortunate to count on the advocacy and unconditional commitment of outstanding citizens such as Ginger Lieberman. What greater tribute can there be than to have her recognized for this outstanding service so she generously gives to our students and community than for her to be recognized as the 2018 Dedicated School Board Service Award recipient?
Again, just thank you for your kind words, and it's been my pleasure, and I look forward to many, many more years serving our community.
We do, too.
She gave a little nicer speech at the dinner.
Well, I wanted to read it into the record because, you know, for years to come, that's what people need to remember. So there are three items that I want to bring to your attention. Is this the proper time to bring to your attention? Because so often we run out of time for meaningful discussions. And I wanted to bring to your attention, the first is potentially changing where we vote for the budget. We are living in a world where we have to pay attention to the safety of our students. And while we cannot control what happens with what we feel that we have no control over what happens with the national elections or the county elections, we do have control over what happens with the school board elections. And so we would like to begin discussion about having the school board elections in none of our elementary schools. So and hopefully in none of our active schools. So we will begin that discussion. We'll present a plan to the board. We believe that we can handle it in our schools. There are many districts that are now one doing it in one site. We're not suggesting that it will be in one site, but we are suggesting that we will take it out of our schools. Right now, we are in POB Middle School, Old Beth Page, and, of course, Jamaica Avenue, which is not students. But Old Beth Page is really being hit during the day because they have had to transfer their cafeteria, and it is a strain on that. And we also have had to do some changes for POB Middle School. So we will begin that conversation in the July meeting. So it's a notice to everyone that that conversation will go on. The second conversation has to do with, and I have said this quite often as we speak about our enrollment, we have been looking at the enrollment of our two middle schools. Just as an example, we are taking in 10 sections on a grade level at POB Middle School, while we have 7 sections on a grade level at Matlin. Over time, that has a strain on resources in the two middle schools. And we need to begin that conversation. And so, again, we are going to be beginning that conversation at our July meeting. So, of course, in POB style, we begin a conversation. It will be extended through September. So nobody has to not take their vacation. But the board will start some discussion. We'll present some facts, some data, some possibilities about how we can handle it. There are many options that we could have for addressing it, but we must address the overcrowding at one and the not overcrowding. The underpopulation of the other, whatever we say. The board will have that discussion. And the third conversation that we will have is, again, starting in July, will be around the use of Fern Place. ACDS is the tenant that occupies Fern Place, and they have approached the board with an expressed interest in having their own building, whether it be using our building or going to another building. They really would like to own their building. And so the board has asked us to begin to develop some data, some exploration of possibilities. And we're looking into the feasibility of whether we will sell the property or whether we will have other discussions. This is all going to be a board discussion that, again, will start in July, continue in August, and extend through September.
At least. Thank you. Next, we're going to go on to reports and discussions. Jill's going to give us an overview and timeline, I guess, of the elementary math pilot.
Okay, so this is a very brief overview, just an initial discussion about the elementary math pilot, which will begin actually very soon with regard to grades K through 4. Jen Lagatuda could not be here tonight. She was in a sporting accident over the weekend. She'll be fine, but she's on crutches. So, you know, Jen, she wanted to be here this evening. But thank you, Allison, for joining me. Allison is the principal liaison for the math pilot, and she'll be helping to spearhead this. So I just really want to go over a very brief timeline. Currently in our current model, we use the Envisions program, which was adopted in 2011 for grades K through 4. Over time, we've incorporated the new Common Core standards. More recently, obviously, looking at the next generation adjustments that have been put forth, and also incorporated the math workshop model, which we spent a lot of time on. You know, we've had some math staff developers in working with us on fluencies, talking about small group instruction. But really, the math workshop model started a number of years back with a couple of teachers trying it out, and it's expanded. We've had visitations within the district, and also spent some time looking at some other districts locally, like Farmingdale, looking at their model, but mostly in-house. And it's taken off, and we feel that's been a nice enhancement to the program. That is not something that we want to do away with. So the work that we've done around that, we want to continue. It's really helped foster differentiated instruction and really adjusting the curriculum for those students that may need some reteaching as well as advancement. In the fifth grade through eighth grade model, we are using Go Math. That was adopted a number of years ago. And that's, again, pretty much we stick to fidelity with that. We don't incorporate the math workshop model, but the Common Core standards, you know, have been adjusted throughout the program. So moving forward, the pilot's actually going to begin in this year with just a brief overview of the two programs. The two programs we're looking at is Envisions 2.0. It has been the updated version for some time. And then I want to be clear, this is the Go Math 2016 version. This is their most current program out there. We have asked if they are looking to update it further. We have not gotten a definitive answer yet, but Go Math is part of Harcourt, Houghton, Mifflin. A lot of these companies have combined over time, and probably more because of the online component, they've condensed their products. So they kind of sell three different platforms within the same company. So it depends on what they're pushing at the time, honestly. So there's something else coming out through HMH in January, but it's not Go Math. It's not an enhancement to that. So for purposes of where we are in the district, we feel, you know, we've still have many people that are fond of Envisions, but it needs a lift, and that would be the 2.0 model. The Go Math version, we have, you know, worked very hard at the middle school level to implement that, and there's a lot of problem solving, which was well needed. So we were going to stick with these two products at this time in terms of taking feedback and what we're doing currently. So timeline for May and June of this year, we, as the building principals, looked at the several different products and made the decision to look at those two particularly. The goal of the pilot would be to have four teachers per pilot, per program in the pilot, per grade level participate. So what I mean by that is, for example, in first grade, it would be two teachers from Stratford Road and two teachers from Old Beth who would pilot first grade Envisions. Two teachers from Pasadena and two teachers from JJP would do the Go Math in first grade. So that we're well represented, that it's not all one school making the decision or providing the feedback. They would be cross-articulation within the district. And of course, you know, the vendors are going to want to sell their product, so they're going to do all they can in providing the resources and, you know, partnering with us. But the teachers currently, the principals have reached out to teachers to get their involvement, and easily we were able to obtain the eight teachers per grade level in the pilot. They will receive introductory training in this month, actually in the next couple of weeks, just an overview of the two products. They will get the teacher resources and things like that to take home if they want to review over the summertime, but it's just an overview. Going forward, in July and August, we'll need to secure the materials for the classrooms. We'll need to establish the technology component of the program. So most of these, well, both of these products have a rich online component, both for teacher, families, and students. But network connection, we had some issues last summer with getting our online textbooks, so we want to get in front of that. We'd like to create a survey for parents to determine the strengths and deficits of our current instructional program. So what are some of the things you want to preserve, and what are the things you want to do, what I'm going to say, look fors in the new program? So the survey will be really critical in terms of, you know, just getting some feedback from parents about what the struggles. We've heard from third grade parents for the most part where they've struggled with the new math. Not so much anymore. I think it's kind of settled down for a while. And I think that comes with the adjustment of doing some math workshop. We've enhanced the second grade curriculum a great deal to make that vertical articulation. So, but we just want to hear from every parent at this point. So that would go out to K to four parents. Our next step would also to be to reach out to the PTA and the PCT to obtain representatives to be on a committee. We are looking for two members from each school plus SEPTA reps, and then begin the process of just establishing some dates for the committee to meet and also obviously get an overview of the programs. This summer, some benchmark assessments are going to be created as part of our summer curriculum writing. And what I mean by that is, instead of giving just the assessment within the products, so we'll have, you know, Envisions 2.0, Go Math, and then traditional Envisions. The benchmark assessment would be locally created, obviously looking at the pacing of all those products, but testing specific skills. So how did students perform within the different programs toward those skills and concepts? So that level playing field for every child, doesn't matter what program you're in, we want to know that based on the math standards, you can achieve success in these areas. So September, October, when we come back, teachers within the pilot would receive a full day of training. Like I said, the upcoming training is just a quick overview for a couple hours, look at materials, talk about components of the program. A letter would go out to all parents K through 4 in the fall, notifying them of the pilot. So when some parents in some classes have some materials, et cetera, everybody will know that the district's part of this. The parents involved in the specific pilot programs will receive a separate letter, obviously giving them some details about the programs. We will be sharing out with PTA Curriculum Committee, even though we will have a math committee, we want to keep the PTA Curriculum Committee involved, as well as articulating back at the buildings. The committee will convene, review the survey results that will be sent out, and receive full presentations on both programs. We want to share the findings, obviously, with all the constituency groups and begin our benchmark administration, just depending on where the timeline falls in the rollout of the curriculum. In November, December, just take some initial feedback on the pilot, report it out with committees, continuing to meet. Any follow-up support or training will continue. Benchmark assessments where needed will be administered. And when I say benchmark assessments, it's not like having a kindergartner sit down and take 16 questions. It could be, you know, four questions on this concept. It could be a little lengthier for grades 3 and 4. So again, those will be developed over the summer. In February, we'd like the pilot to culminate at that point in time. Teachers would respond to a textbook adoption feedback form. And that's pretty lengthy. We've used it in the past. We've made some adjustments already to it to give feedback on their usage of the materials, how students, you know, will have the benchmark data. We'll also have the unit assessment data. But this is more about, from a personal level, having been involved in the pilot. Information will be shared with the committee and the constituency groups will weigh in. In March, I'd ask that the assistant superintendent provide recommendations to the superintendent and the Board of Education at a March Board of Education meeting. Reports continue to be made out to PTA, faculty, and curriculum, and then follow up with any vendors as needed. In April, I would suggest that the Board of Education await feedback, public feedback, if any there's any questions after the presentation, and look for adoption at the end of April with notification to parents. Over in May and June, look to purchase the new text, training for other staff members who weren't involved in those pilots so that they can hit the ground running. So the purchase a new text, I want to be clear, so for the 19-20 school year, the rollout would be in grades K, 2, and 4. And then in 2020 would be 1 and 3. So not do it all at once. And we have also, I want to be clear, we have teachers involved in new next generation science standards, new units of study, preparing for the timeline for students to take that new assessment in science. So I think it'll be important I'm going to call a little slow roll in the necessary grades. We today did some held some interviews for the math coach position along with the science field trip teacher that was put into the budget. We talked a lot about their role in supporting teachers in the pilot, and then hopefully if the position continues into the next school year as we roll out. And that's it.
Oh boy, here we go.
Okay. Been through this a bit. You know, the downfall of investigations was its rollout, because within a certain amount of time, the teachers were able to connect with it, parents were able to slowly connect with it, and there were those who actually liked the idea of it getting kids to think outside the box. My concern here, as you know, is the lack of consistency. And I understand the new gen science is coming in, so we don't want to kill those kids. But I would not be in favor, or I have great concerns about the K-2 and 4 and leaving out the 1 and 3. I do have concerns about that. I'm fearful for those children going into the following grade that did not have it in the preceding year, and their levels of expectation about what's going on. I'm just not there. Maybe I wasn't involved in enough conversations, but from all of the experience through my years, you know, I am hoping that if this is the way it's going to go, that it is successful. I'm very concerned about the choice of the grades.
I think, Renelle, based on the feedback that we received on previous pilots and things like that, and just people, I guess, their ability to transition with multiple things going on, I think from a personal level, listening to that feedback, that choosing three grade levels to roll it out, the capacity to mentor those people, to provide the support rather than turning the whole school upside down. Yes, two grades will, you know, come into it a little bit later on, but I don't think that looking at the grade levels that are up there, and you provided feedback. In fact, initially we were looking at K-1. We changed to K-2 and 4, looking at, because the whole pilot would take a whole nother year, so by that time, the science, we would have done K-2 through the science, so third grade in that year would be getting new science. Not the most ideal thing to have them do double up on it. So
that's why I would do K-1, 2 if you had to pick three grades.
I'm going to address that. Parents at the curriculum meeting, particularly parents of fourth graders, feel a sense of urgency. I think they would like to move this along a little bit quicker than even having a whole year of a pilot. But I mean, if you got to learn the program to effectively roll it out. I think parents would like to see, particularly of our fourth graders, a Go Math program, making an easier transition into the fifth grade. But if I delayed that two more years, Renelle, I think that we need to kick it up a little bit. Even though we have embedded the workshop model, we are differentiating instruction. Yes, we have made our own adjustments to the problem solving. You know, some of the things that in these two programs, and they really, honestly, I don't have, you know, I haven't been involved in the Go Math at the elementary level or even Envisions 2.0, but you know, very problem-based learning, deep conceptual understanding they profess that the programs have, personalized adaptive learning opportunities, a lot of online homework videos, animated glossaries, you know, a lot of technology. And I think with our students in fifth grade using the Chromebooks, having had this familiarity, I'd like to see our fourth grade step it up a little bit.
I also just wanted to say, I wasn't on the board when the board made the decision about investigations, but when I got on the board, I heard from a lot of board members that they wished we had introduced it slower.
That's right.
and that we didn't do all grades at the same time. So, you know, I think that's...
I agree with that and remember very well about
right.
complaining about everything, bang, and it's a new program for the children and the parents, and it was just so different. So there was a whole controversy and understood. And I'm not saying it should all be done at one time. I'm just concerned with, you know, and I hear Jill. I hear her. I just know that from my experience, and I don't know how the teachers are feeling about this, where they're coming from. You have some, I'm sure there are those that like it and some that don't. But those are my concerns.
Yeah, some of the feedback that we've gotten on the science, Next Gen, you know, it's phenomena-based, it's inquiry, it's more exploratory. It's been a transition for our K-1 teachers this year. And, you know, they see the level up of vocabulary and just more purposeful discussions. Again, not something that the students can't handle. It's just a different way of looking at teaching science at the elementary level. So, again, I'd prefer to try the slow rollout a little bit with, and again, we're going to go through a feedback phase. So if that's something that comes back in the feedback, we can make an adjustment. But I think, you know, knowing that you'll have a committee, you'll have PTA parents weighing in, and they've provided excellent feedback, you know, over the years on suggestions. We have a lot of fourth grade parents that are also on the PTA curriculum in middle school, so it's been, you know, a good conversation, particularly when we're talking about the transition year.
Well, was it considered at all for K-1 and 4?
Yeah, that was my original. You gave me feedback how you did.
Your original was K-3 and 4.
No, because I was doing science K-1 this year, so it was right. K-1 and 4, and then because I'm dragging out the pilot another year, I moved it because second, it definitely.
So K-1-4 is
out. It's K-2-4 because second grade will have the new science this year.
Jody?
My question is about the culmination of the pilot. So you're going to have these classrooms that are piloting the new program and everybody else is going to be using the old Envisions. What happens to those students when the pilots culminate? Do they have to switch gears in the middle of the year and go back to what everybody else is doing?
No, so no one, everybody, wherever they start, they're going to end the year.
Okay, so those kids will continue using that program for the rest of the year.
No one's going to do mid-year.
Okay,
everybody continues.
Great.
Doesn't matter what
just
you're in.
Just the data and...
Correct.
Right, so that's when you're cutting off in terms of making your decision, but those kids won't have to just suddenly stop and go with
right.
the
I feel
old
like
Envisions.
In the timeline that we, you know, we're going to need to do some public presentations,
right. mm-hmm.
You know, have parents weigh in here publicly, and then, you know, to get everybody up and running by September, you really should be doing the training May, June for the prior year. Otherwise, you're just dragging it out longer, and by the time they kick in October, November...
I agree. I had the question about whether or not those students, whether the pilot culmination meant we stop using that program.
No.
And everybody, okay, great. Thank you.
Ginger?
Yeah. What are you looking for in timeline for staff development? Because it's going to be something brand new, and I know that one of the problems we've had with the very old math program was that the teachers really were learning on the spot. And taking teachers out of the classroom during the day, having subs come in, it was really not a very smooth rollout. And then getting the parents on board to understand it's a new math program, mm-hmm. this is what you should anticipate and expect. So what are you looking for, like staff
development? So right now, actually, June 8th and 14th, are two of the trainings, Ginger. They're half days. So the Envisions will go a half day, and the Go Math group will do a half day. And that's a brief overview in terms of training,
right.
just getting to know the product, what are the features of the product. Then coming back in September, they will need to be pulled out of the classroom for a full day of training with the product. Now, keep in mind, a lot of these products have gone online, so the I'm not going to say that the training isn't new, but it's more to get to know more in depth of the product. We'll also have the math coach to be able to come in. They'll attend all of these upcoming trainings, the trainings coming up. Genevieve obviously will be involved. Also, all of the math specialists will be involved. so I didn't include that. But they will all be, again, liaisons, more support. Granted, they have AIS students, but they'll, so that's, it's like more hands-on in the building rather than a lot of pull-out. I do expect, though, that as I've seen when we do a pilot, the companies will come in and do one-on-one training with you, Ginger, who needs more help with.
Thank you.
You know, so they will. Well, I know how you fear math, but they will. They'll do some hand-holding that way. They want to sell this product, which, you know, can get a little funky because they'll do whatever they can to provide you with.
I just, you know, my concern is continuity in the classroom as opposed to pulling somebody out all the time so that we have
that
to
be a balance.
I think also
one day in September.
Yeah, when we talked about the with the math coach today in the interview process, we talked about that, pushing in, co-teaching, being a support. You know, we're not going to have kids involved in the science field trip component of that role. It's only two classes a day. Maybe it will be that the science field trips take place one on Mondays, and then a full day will be available to be in one whole school to do support so that the coach isn't running back and forth. So, you know, we'll have to see how that schedule pans out. But I think, you know, having that, I appreciate you putting that into the budget because I think it's going to make a big difference.
Okay, thanks.
Susan?
So I have a couple concerns. Math, especially primary math, we're talking about manipulating digits. Is there a big difference between the Envisions and the Go Math? I remember back in the 70s, our district decided to teach reading through phonetics versus traditional. So they were like...
Whole language.
So, oh my God, that was bad for certain. It depends on... So, but anyway, the library had to have a separate... The public library had to have a separate section because cat was spelled K-A with a line.
No, I mean... this
How
is,
big of a difference between Envisions and Go Math is there that...
So, I mean, as I said, the principals and myself have had, you know, a brief overview looking at the products, but I'm telling you, like, when you look at the PowerPoints, deep conceptual understanding, they throw those terms out, both products. Personalized adaptive learning, a single access for teachers to access all of their, you know, like, so, I mean, there's a great emphasis on problem solving and more inquiry and independence.
What about foundations, though? We're talking about
in
primary,
terms of
we're talking about kindergarten.
I'm telling you that.
Because, I mean, I lived also through with a child.
The old Envisions?
Investigations, because I lived that and having to do certain things as a parent.
That I mean, I'm not going to say that's the investigations model is not at all either Envisions or Go Math. Certainly, there's another product out through the HMH platform that is. That's why we're not doing that one. However, I want to be clear. Many teachers are using some of the tenets of the investigations product within even the workshop model. But we also know that the fluency issues have surfaced in the middle schools because we haven't built the foundational skills in the primary grades. So I know you might have seen in some of your walkthroughs where teachers are having a math station where kids are on a Chromebook in second grade and playing hit the button and doing their math facts. And that's helped tremendously because that's going to help them in later years where the deeper concepts are coming into play and they don't have that. But, you know, it's too early for me to say, oh, these are the vast differences
of
the products.
That's one of my concerns. Also, with the benchmarks, I want to make sure that if teachers are noticing holes, so when we did roll out investigations and teachers in third grade were realizing minute math, you know, they couldn't do their multiplication tables because they weren't memorizing anymore. And there's some things that are tried and true. It's math. It's many millennium year old teaching. Will the teachers have the freedom and the flexibility to plug those holes if it's not part of the program?
So I think when you're, you know, when you look at how many years ago, I mean, I've been here 9 years.
Yeah,
I think that was 12 years ago, right, that you had the situation. A lot has changed. I mean, even
I just want to know
the math workshop model. We do our fluency games
all
week.
Will the teachers feel
yes
empowered?
I don't want people to have to be open the book, watch the video. I do an introductory lesson. Kids go sit, do some guided math practice, then you do your independent work. That's not the way we're teaching anymore. So we want that math workshop model to continue. We are going to emphasize that with the math coach. You can do that. I mean, you'll see a lot in these products, too, that there have some center activities, a lot of differentiation. You'll see right at the bottom of the teacher manual, here's the enrichment. There's adaptive learning opportunities, I said, with the online component for the students. There's some reteach. You know, they're very big into the RTI kit that they'll send. So it's just, I think it's different. I wasn't here for that, so I don't know what the...
There's some
scarring. Was it so rigid? Was it... I don't know if it was the program. Right, I do know that, believe me. It's
so
been branded.
I just want to make sure that there is freedom, there's flexibility. If we have to say, we're scrapping it, it's not... Because the kids only get one chance to do these things. And that's where I want to make sure that they're protected. They get one time at kindergarten, they get one time at first grade, etc. And it's the foundations. Without the foundation, you can't build a house.
But I think that's why we have to give our teachers a multitude of tools to be able to accomplish that. And we've had to do that. I mean, actually, they've become very skilled at it because Envisions, when the new Common Core came out, it really wasn't that strong in some of the problem solving. So we've had to make those changes along the way. So I don't see that being any different. I'm sure there's going to be some terrific things in each program, and we're going to say, oh, I wish it had this, I wish it had that, but you're not going to fragment that. So I'm confident the teachers have the skill to make those
adaptations. I know they have the skill. I want to make sure they have the freedom.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've always said all through the years, no matter who was in which seat, that no program has every single thing that we want to see. So the teachers know that they have to add whatever it is as a basis for some children, for other children. So, but yes, the freedom, I would hope too, because I'm a big believer in one size does not fit all. So, to me it's very important to have.
And then when you see a curriculum project surfacing that might say second grade, we have to build this unit, it could be because we see a deficit within the program or the sequencing or maybe the readjusting. That's happened as well, where we say, why would you introduce this first? Could we make that change?
I want them to have the freedom to go off script if they feel it's necessary. If they feel, why are you doing area before perimeter? You know, something as simple as that they do the concepts in the order that they believe is the correct way, not because the publisher needed to rewrite.
And that's why the curriculum writing and the feedback from teachers along the way, but we are still going to have district benchmark assessments. So no matter what order you're going in, you got to hit the mark.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Allison. Allison's going to be the lead on this, so I think that'll be Allison has a background in mathematics, and she's also been through the past math wars.
Yes, she has.
That's right. She's the only one. Two survivors. That's it. Suzanne was not here, right?
No. Okay, thank you. Next, we're going to go to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process, or those of others, could in some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We thank you in advance for being respectful of all speakers and staff members. The floor is now open. Hurry up, Jacques.
There's the mad rush coming. Run.
Good evening. Jacques Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive in Plainview. Going through the agenda here, we have a lot of routine business And in many cases, the rates and dollar amounts are shown, but in a number of these, there is no information on the cost of the program. For instance, 8.10 doesn't indicate any costs. 813, 814, 817. And 830. Now, I was able to get that information privately by communicating with Mr. Cunningham, but I think that the general public should have that information available. I don't know why it was left out, but it will take more vigilance on the part of the board to make sure that that information gets out. Other than that, I think spring has finally arrived, and I'm very glad that we're into the warm weather. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jacques, I was aware that you communicated with Mr. Cunningham about this. We've talked about it, and we are going to, for the next school year, talk to the board about putting all of those contracts into public space. So, but first, because they're really not, there's no reason why we, it's just, first of all, our agendas have changed, because of what you've said. We're trying to be as transparent as possible, and that's just one more step that we could take. So beginning in the next school year, we will, if the board approves it, we could put the full contracts. Because there's no, except for personnel identifying.
I can't imagine why we wouldn't.
There's no reason
that.
Why we can't do it. And if you're interested, I know that you've spoken with Mr. Cunningham and have gotten the information, but there's no reason that another person has to come to the board meeting if they don't have to.
Thank you very much.
So thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. Thank you, Jacques, for your input. Can I have a motion for routine business? Ginger, a second. Rennell, any holds, separations, discussion? All those in favor? Thank you. What, Vince?
Yes, I'd just like to recognize a couple of appointments you just voted on. Yes. So tonight, by board action, you've approved Ms. Mandy Beter as a health PE teacher in both of our middle schools. Mandy? There she is.
Welcome. Is Mandy from?
You've also approved Ms. Maricino Ernesto as a leave replacement health teacher at Matlin Middle School. Okay. And I just want to note that Ms. Cindy Dempsey was a behavioral consultant for us, working under a social worker's license, and she'll be taking over for Mark Galloway next year. So, congratulations.
Welcome aboard. Really excited to have you guys. Hi. Welcome.
She's from North Belmont.
Thank you. Okay. Now, can...
So that we didn't have civil service?
No. I don't think so. Can I get a motion on new business, the permission to circulate various new policies? Jody, second. Susan, hold, separation, discussion. I have just a question, Vince. Somebody brought to my attention that on the Val-Sal policy, number 7242, I think it was the last paragraph under class ranking, that we mentioned honors and AP but didn't mention college classes. So can we add that to the 5% that exists for the honors?
If the board would like to do that, we can add that.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
Oh, what did I say? Oh, okay.
No, to add. She's correct.
She has to add college.
College. Right, that's what you said.
Okay.
So you want to amend this piece here.
Recognize college.
And then we'll do it with the circulation if everybody
agrees.
Yeah. Yep.
Does
put it in the circulation.
Okay.
Amend it as.
All those in.
Second.
Yeah. All those in favor? Okay, so can we just approve it as amended?
Yes.
Did we vote? Okay, all those in favor of the permission to circulate? Thank you. And now can I have a motion to enter into executive session to obtain legal advice from the district's council? Seth, second. Lauren, all those in favor? Jill did a good job. Thank you very much for attending.